Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Perfect Stranglers. You are hearing my morning voice.
And also my morning voice. I actually have, like, some allergies right now, and, like, my whole, like, my sinuses itch and my gums itch. Ooh. And I have, like...
Did you say your thumbs or your gums?
My gums.
Okay, I was like, this is weird, but okay.
Yeah.
Like, your gums out. Itch?
Yeah.
That happens when you get allergies?
Sometimes, yeah.
That's wild.
It's a very weird sensation. And all you can really do is just, like, brush your teeth hard or something. I don't know.
Have you experienced this before?
Yes. It's weird. The first time that it's ever happened to me was, like, after drinking.
Okay. So this sounds like people who are, like, allergic to fruits, like bananas or kiwis or something, like, they get, like, their mouth gets itchy, and I've never experienced that, so I have no idea. But that's what that sounds like.
Yeah, and it's weird. It's not the whole mouth. It's just my gums.
I know that I really don't want to know what that feels like, because it sounds awful, but I just want to know what it feels like so I can relate, because that sounds like the most bizarre sensation.
Oh, it is. For sure.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. Allergy season is up on us.
Yeah.
Up on us. I am not looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Because then I can't wear contacts, and it makes it hard to work out because you don't want to work out with your glasses on, and first world problems, I suppose.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
So what else is up, Brie?
I saw Carrie the musical yesterday.
How was it?
Last night. It was good. I didn't know exactly what to expect. Because it seems like a weird book or movie to make into a musical.
Yeah.
But it was good. Yeah. They used... I was wondering what they were going to do for the blood with the prom. And, like, I kind of just thought, like, they would be using, like, red confetti or something.
Yeah,
they used like Halloween fake blood,
like, so there's just blood everywhere.
Yeah,
I wonder how were they standing on, like, a tarp?
They were standing on a little platform. Like, she went, like, on, like, this little platform to go accept her crown, and mm-hmm. you know, so I think it was kind of contained to there. And it definitely wasn't, like, as much blood as, like, in the movie. But it got over, like, her dress and everything. And, like, some of the other, like, actors' clothing. And so, like, on the way out, like, I was with my sister and one of our friends. And we were talking about... We were, like, I wonder, like, you know, they have at least, like... a few more shows, because this is Friday and they're doing Saturday shows and Sunday shows. Like, do they have to, like, wash all that stuff? And does it come out? Do they have different outfits for each, like, show?
That's a good question. They would have to. They would have to have multiple, because there's, I mean, a load in the wash and a load in the dryer to wash off the clothes is, like, 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. So...
And, like, red, like, blood stains, that fake blood stains, like...
See, I wondered about that. Like,
it does. I can attest to that. Definitely, okay. It does.
Yeah, they must have just different outfits for every show.
That would be the most practical thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, that sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was between that or the Jeff Hardy Experience thing.
Oh, man, and you chose Carrie?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I made the right choice.
Did you see the question that I asked, that I wanted you to ask?
Yeah.
I want to know what it feels like to get the Rikishi, like, butt smash.
That's so gross.
I remember Rikishi like literally spreading his cheeks and burying his butt in people's faces, and like your nose would be right aligned to where it should not be.
Yeah. Ew.
God, I cannot believe that was a thing. People still do that in wrestling, like stick their ass on people.
Yeah.
It's still like a move people do, and I just am like, why? Why? It's funny. It has to hurt. You know?
Boy. Yeah, I don't... That's... It's a bit much. But you know what?
It's a bit much.
That whole business is just all about being extreme.
Being a
bit much. Oh, you know what? And some of our listeners might be like, what the fuck are you even talking... We're talking about... This is wrestling. Like, professional wrestling. If you don't know who Jeff Hardy is. Like...
People are feverishly looking up Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
And then they're very disappointed when they see that he looks like a young Tiger King.
Right. I was going to say Joe Dirt, but yeah. Same difference.
It's the facial hair.
Yeah.
It's the facial hair for me.
Yeah.
That really is like...
Uh-huh.
Okay, guys. So, Brie and I are recording, as you know, Saturday morning, but we have three really long cases to chat about, so we're gonna get right into housework and then we're gonna get right into the case. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to go ahead and follow us on all of the social medias, there is a link in our bio that you can find all of our social medias, or you can do Instagram is @perfect_stranglers, Twitter is @perfstranglers, Facebook is @perfectstranglers. And then if you listen on Spotify, please give us that 5-star rating. It really, really helps us. So far, we have all 5 stars, which is fantastic. Then if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please do us a solid and give us 5 stars and also leave a review. It's just really helpful for us when you leave a review, and it boosts us up in the algorithm and lets other people know that we exist, and we want people to know that we exist. So please do that. We'll love you forever. Also, that link in our bio that's on all of our social media platforms, if you go there, you'll see that we also have a new Spotify playlist. Go ahead, join that and add your favorite songs. We'd love to know what you are listening to, and then you can hear some of our favorite songs, and it's just like a fun way to get to know each other. Yeah, finally, if you have any good stories or want us to do a case, email us, contact@perfectstranglers, and that's what I got for you today.
Cool. What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about skinwalkers. Now, you shouldn't even be saying that word. We're not supposed to say skinwalker. It's kind of like Candyman or Slenderman, where the more you say it, you're inviting it and putting that energy out into the air, and you're really not supposed to say it.
Did not know that. Like a Voldemort situation.
Yeah, those who shall not be named are skinwalkers. Yeah, it was an interesting topic to research. I reached out to people on TikTok and on... I almost said Tinder for some reason.
Oh.
I don't know why I almost said Tinder. Probably because it starts with a T. I don't know. But I reached out to people on TikTok and on Reddit to kind of get their stories and get their hot takes on it. Met a couple people from Utah who live near Skinwalker Ranch. Also, my boss at work is from Utah. Asked her if she knows about Skinwalker Ranch. Trying to get some information from them, and I got a little bit of it. Mainly what they had to say is, yeah, it's like known as a UFO highway. One person said that you really can't go anywhere in that area of Utah without knowing someone who's been either abducted by aliens or who sees a UFO every single night.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that you shouldn't be talking about skinwalkers, and it's something that is really taboo to talk about, especially in the Native American land over there. So we're going to get into it.
Okay, cool.
It's a fun time. Okay, so we're going to talk specifically about Skinwalker Ranch. You can go a couple different ways with this. You can talk about skinwalkers as the cryptid, as the mythological creature, or you can talk about Skinwalker Ranch, which has a skinwalker aspect to it, obviously, but it has a lot more paranormal to it than just skinwalkers. So we're going to talk about the ranch. If we want to talk about actual skinwalkers more so in the future, if you guys dig this episode and want to know more, we can do that as well. So Skinwalker Ranch is the single most researched place for paranormal activity in the world. It has been highly researched, very scientifically researched, and everything I'm going to be talking on the experiences, the research, they're not one-offs. This isn't something that happens once. This is things that have happened over and over and over and over again for decades. These are things that have been happening to the owners of the ranch and have happened to scientists, government agents, people brought out to the ranch to debunk or come up with an acceptable or comprehensible explanation for the goings-on that's happening there. So this isn't like... I just want to make sure we know that this isn't like Zach Bagelbites, Zach Baggins, going out and checking out Skinwalker Ranch. These are people who have been in the scientific community for decades, former NASA scientists, former Department of Defense people who have gone out there and conducted real scientific experiments to try and figure out what's going on, mm-hmm. on top of firsthand encounters from so many, like at this point, probably over 1,000 people over the last like few decades, like honestly since the 60s, have been in and around Skinwalker Ranch and have seen things happen in this Utah area.
Yeah. So it's legitimate scientists doing legitimate research. It's consistently active. It's like the old faithful of the paranormal.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's unreal. Like, it's unreal to me that we still consider, like, we still consider the paranormal something that isn't research, because that's simply not true, mm-hmm. at all. Like, at all. It is okay. not true. This is incredibly researched. We just don't accept the research as a society because we can't wrap our heads around it.
Right.
It's one of those things where, like... We're going to talk about fringe science for a hot sec when we get into it. But, like, tectonic plates used to be fringe science where people didn't believe it was a thing. And it's like, you don't believe it's a thing because you can't tangibly touch it or it hasn't happened to you. But we know that tectonic plates are a thing. You don't just not believe it because you've never experienced an earthquake. You know what's happened. Like, you know what it is. Right. Same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I get very passionate about this. So, if you asked a random person to, like, name the scariest or most mysterious place on Earth, they would generally say, like, Bermuda Triangle or Area 51. But, like, that is... That literally has nothing on Skinwalker Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing on it at all. And it's just so cool to me. So this this ranch is absolutely massive. It sprawls just shy of 500 acres in a northern Utah region known as the Uinta Basin. It's located right up against the Ute Native American Reservation. However, as we all know, the entire North American continent is all native land. So this land that we're going to talk about, Skinwalker Ranch, is previous Native American land. And whenever that's involved, you know that some possible paranormal stuff is happening there, generally.
Yep.
The Native presence in Utah is strong, and this specific area has a really unique history. It is home to the Ute tribe. Like we said, it's like right up against the ranch, and they were aligned with the Navajo tribe on and off throughout history. So they would have wars, then be okay, then have wars, and then be okay. But in the 1800s, when Spanish settlers arrived to the area, the Ute tribe began to align with the Spanish settlers and kind of turn their backs on the Navajo tribe. Specifically, the Ute tribe was involved in Spanish slave trade, and the Ute tribe abducted Navajo people and sold them as slaves, which obviously gave the Navajo people a really deep-seated and well-deserved, like, anger and vendetta against the Ute tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So in retaliation, it is said that the Navajo tribe cursed the Ute land, which is what the Skinwalker Ranch is on, because, yeah, buddy-buddy to it. So the curse was the Skinwalker curse. So in Navajo language, Yi Nald Lushi, I had to spell that out, like, phonetically. Yi Nald Lushi translates to, by means of it, it goes on all fours, which is what they call a skinwalker. While the most common variation of a skinwalker is seen in, like, horror movies or, like, it's depicted by non-Navajo people, the skinwalker, the Yi Nald Lushi, is one of, and I'm sorry if I'm, like, not pronouncing that completely correct, but at this point, we know I can't pronounce anything. So I have a hard time pronouncing Oregon, Michigan. Fuck. It's one of like many varieties of skinwalkers in Navajo culture. And it's important to note that Navajo culture isn't the only one that has skinwalkers. Most Native American tribes, from what I've learned, what I've researched, have some type of skinwalker lore associated with them as well. So Navajo witches, including skinwalkers, represent like the opposite of what Navajo culture is and its values and its morals. A medicine man or a medicine woman is like a positive term in their culture, but a witch is the negative term associated with dark magic, dark ceremonies to conjure up curses and like dark entities, that type of thing. So in order to practice, in order for someone in Navajo culture to be a medicine man or medicine woman, they are traditional healers and they need to learn about both good and evil magic. And most can handle that responsibility. To some people become kind of like corrupt and choose to become witches when they learn about evil magic and stuff like that. So the legend of the skinwalker is not really well understood outside of Navajo culture, mostly due to reluctance to even discuss the topic with outsiders. Like we said at the top of this episode, I'm not supposed to even be saying this. Like, it's not, you're not supposed to say the word. So I can say with confidence that the culture would not be happy to hear that we're doing this episode or any podcast or any media in pop culture having to do with a skinwalker at all. Like, it's not, they don't like it. Mm-hmm. And so when I was researching this, I was like, do I do this? Do I not? It's part of cryptids and it's part of cryptozoology and the paranormal. And this is what we do. And so many people talk about it that we're just going to do it. And if a skinwalker shows up, that's on me, I guess. sorry. Traditional Navajo people are reluctant to reveal skinwalker lore to anyone they don't trust. So Adrienne Keene, she's a Cherokee Nation activist and founder of the blog Native Appropriations. She wrote, "What happens when Rowling," so she's discussing J.K. Rowling, who put skinwalker-like beings in her books. So she says, "What happens when Rowling pulls this in is we as Native people are now opened up to a barrage of questions about these beliefs and traditions. But these are not things that need or should be discussed by outsiders at all." I'm sorry if that seems unfair, but that's how our cultures survive. Which, so she's completely right. Like, really shouldn't be talking about this, but here we are. So the research of this episode was difficult because I didn't want to step on any toes or be disrespectful or present anything that was, like, we always want to present facts, but I really wanted to be really careful and present only facts that I found through research. The legend of the skinwalker, as we know outside of Navajo culture, goes like this. Animals associated with witchcraft or dark magic are usually include like tricksters such as a coyote or a wolf or a dire wolf, or those associated with death or bad omens like crows or owls. Skinwalkers, like as the name says, are said to possess living animals or people and walk around in their bodies. So they're shapeshifters. Skinwalkers can be male or female, and their only purpose is to cause mayhem, and they operate for just pure, like, evil intention, and that's it. To fuck up your life, basically. So some say a human who turned into a skinwalker has to have the pelt of the animal on them. So if you turn into a wolf, you need to have a wolf pelt on you. If you turn into a bird, like a crow, you, I'd imagine you need to have like a feather on you to turn into that, since you can't really have like a bird pelt. You know what I mean? Tradition says that skinwalkers are born from a witch who abuses indigenous magic for evil. The medicine man is then given mythical powers of evil, medicine man or medicine woman. And that varies from tradition to tradition. But the power all traditions mention is the ability to possess an animal or a person. So other traditions believe a man or a child can become a skinwalker if they commit any like kind of deep-seated taboo. The one that was consistently mentioned was killing a family member. So there are a couple ways that they mention this. One of the ways that I saw mentioned was if you learn dark magic and you want to be a skinwalker, you'd have to do some sort of ritual, finalize that ritual by killing a family member, and then you turn into a skinwalker. Mm. Others say that you don't have to kill someone. You can just, like, you have the magic in, you have the dark magic in you. Like, you've learned it enough to now be able to transform yourself into whatever animal you want to turn into. I said we skinwalkers, like I'm a skinwalker, and I don't know why I typed that. Traditions say that skinwalkers are able to walk on their hind legs, and that's what gives them such like a weird gait. They don't walk like a normal human or a normal animal. It's just a weird gait that they have. Think of any time you've seen like a werewolf walking on hind legs in a movie, and they kind of have like this weird stroll to them, kind of like that. They have superhuman speed. They're able to run on their hind legs or on all fours. When they're on hind legs, they can run at the speed of the animal they've inhabited, if not like much faster. Another thing is that while they are an animal, their eyes are human, and oftentimes when they are human, their eyes will have that reflective quality to them that an animal, like if you shine a flashlight at a cat, that an animal would have. They would have that reflective quality.
It's called tectum.
So they're described to be animalistic physically. Even when they're in human form, they're a little bit more animalistic. And they're near impossible to kill except with a bullet or a knife dipped in white ash. So that being said, let's get into the story of the Sherman family who owned the ranch from 1994 to 96. So it was owned prior to that. Obviously had prior owners. The previous owners don't really come out and talk much about it at all. So what we really know from it and when it became like in the public eye is in the mid-90s. It's sometimes called the Sherman Ranch, sometimes called the Skinwalker Ranch. We're going to call it Skinwalker Ranch. So in the fall of 94, Terry and Gwen Sherman bought the ranch and moved in along with their son and daughter. The son and daughter's ages were not really said. It was like there's discrepancies, but I think the daughter was 10 and the son was in his teens. So they had prize winning cattle. They were looking for a place to live and put the cattle and like grow their family and like, you know, be all happy. They found Skinwalker Ranch. It was priced super reasonably for being 500 acres. And so they were shocked by how cheap it was. So they purchased the ranch. But upon purchasing the ranch, it had one condition. The one condition was they were not to dig on the land without consulting the old owners first. So that was the one condition.
That sounds suspicious. So let's
remember that. A little sus. A little sus. Okay, so upon inspection, so they purchased the ranch, they went to go check the ranch out, so I don't know if they, like, didn't look at it before they purchased it, or they only looked at the land but didn't look at the house, I'm not really sure, but upon inspection, when they got to the house, they found that each door and some windows had deadbolts on the inside and outside of each door, so you could lock something in, or you lock yourself in there. And the sides of the house had large metal chains stringing down them that the previous owners put. And it was like the previous owners were trying to like chain up large animals, like a large dog around the house, like guard dogs.
Okay.
Yep. So at this point, it's too late for them to be like, oh, not buying this. So it's there. So they just like keep an open mind and they move in. The first 2 months, they're getting acclimated to their surroundings, new life, cattle are thriving, family is thriving, home is great, chef's kiss. Then one day, after a couple months, while unloading stuff out of a vehicle, Terry sees a huge animal in the field that looks kind of like a wolf, but it's enormous, and it's walking towards them, but the walk isn't like a normal animal. It's a weird walk. It's on all fours, but it's a weird walk. So at this point, they were near a cattle field. The cattle is also seeing the animal, and the cattle starts backing up as well, for the most part, with the exception of one small baby calf who's, like, curious and stays up against the gate. So this giant wolf strolls right past the calf and all of the cattle and is looking Terry and Gwen right in the eye. And it seems docile. It's shiny and grayish. The coat is shiny and, like, grayish. It has blue eyes. It's calm. And the sun is out here at this point as well. And I'm assuming, so what I picture is they're in front of their car it's Terry and Gwen and their son standing in front of, like, the hood of their car, seeing this creature. And I think the daughter was in the vehicle still, possibly. So it this creature is so docile and, like, calm that the son and Gwen actually begin to, like, pet it. They're able to pet this wolf. Then something happens.
That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, something happens, and it's like the wolf has, like, a switch just flipped. And it goes at lightning speed towards the cattle, grabs the baby's calf in its head, and it starts clamping down.
Hmm.
So at this point, Terry grabs his shotgun, because he's on a ranch, you carry a gun on you.
Yeah.
He grabs his shotgun, starts giving off, he gives off a shot, doesn't phase the animal, gives off another shot. Basically, the bullet just bounces off of this animal. He gives off 4 shots total. The animal is unfazed by the damage. The bullets are like Nerf bullets, basically, bouncing off of someone. And this wolf just gets annoyed. So after the 4th shot, the wolf runs off, and Terry goes on foot pursuit of it, trying to track it. He's trying to track the muddy footprints. He tracks them for about 1 mile, and they just stop. There are no bodies of water for them to stop on. It's literally like you're walking through an open field of mud, and the footprints just stop, and you don't... The only way for this animal to disappear is to go up.
Yeah.
Like, there's no footprints. Huh. They just stop. So... A few weeks later, after not seeing this massive, abnormally large wolf, Gwen gets home from work. She closes the entrance gate to the ranch, and she sees something out of the corner of her eye. The creature, whatever she sees, kind of slowly stalks toward her in that weird gate again, and she sees that it's the same gray wolf. She's sitting in her car, and it gets to the front of the car and looks at her dead in the eye from the hood. And next to this wolf is a really large black dog. And the way she described it reminds me of a hellhound. She said it was black and its head was really weird. It was far too big for its body. So Gwen kind of freaks out, books it like a bat out of hell, gets into the house. She drives off, gets into the house, and immediately, like, locks the door, calls police. So she's not followed in or anything. She doesn't see the wolf and the dog around. They didn't follow her into the house. So when the police show up, she tells them what she sees, and they're super sketch about it. They're like, are you sure? Because wolves haven't been in Utah, and specifically in that area, since the 1920s. That was the last time a wolf was in Utah at this point. So they ask her to, they chat with her. They ask her, like, what did you see? And they bring up, they have, like, pictures of wolves. I'm assuming this is a couple days later because smartphones didn't exist. So they eventually ask her to ID the wolf, and she shows them exactly what she's seeing. The issue is she identifies this wolf as a dire wolf. Dire wolves are prehistoric and very extinct.
Mm-hmm.
So when a dire wolf existed, it was about the same size as the largest of large wolves that we'd see nowadays. Kind of. The largest wolves nowadays typically weigh, I guess, around 130 pounds, the largest being about 132 pounds. A dire wolf was about 150 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of size difference. A dire wolf had a bite known for, like, shearing flesh off of its prey. Its bite force and its, like, canine teeth are stronger than any known, like, canine to this day. The last of the dire wolves were living as recently as 9,500 years ago, which seems like a hell of a long time ago, but in, like, the grand scheme of the planet, that's fairly recent.
Mm-hmm.
She saw a dire wolf, and things go downhill from here. So one night, Gwen is walking around, and she feels something buzz by her head, like right up top, but nothing's there. It happens again really shortly after, but still she sees nothing, but she feels like whatever just, like, flew past her head is really big. So I'm thinking, like, it's almost like us, if a drone were to fly past you, you'd feel it and see it,
mm-hmm.
and be like, what the fuck? So that happens, and she never sees what it is. Additionally, things are now going missing in their house, like poltergeist activity, like you remember my putty story?
Yes.
Like the putty story.
Okay.
Only bigger things. Small things, big things, random things, that type of thing.
Wow.
All of the things. So Terry was doing chores one day, and he went to get a tool from the garage, and when he came back, his post hole digger was missing. If y'all don't know what a post hole digger is, it looks like a really large, there's a couple different kinds. There's a mechanical one where it just, like, drills a hole, and then there is a, it looks like giant pruning shears, like, the handles are, like, 3 feet long, and then it has, like, a little clamp at the bottom that you can, like, literally clamp the dirt and pull it out with.
It's like the salad tongs.
Yes, like a giant, giant, giant salad tongs. Yeah, so he was doing chores with the post hole digger, went to go get a tool from the garage, came back, the post hole digger was gone. And they weigh about 50 pounds, depending on what kind you're using. And it's a pricey piece of necessary equipment on a ranch. So he goes around, he's like, what the fuck? How is this missing? It literally was right here. You don't just misplace a post hole digger of all things. Like, you don't do that. That's right. Not something that happens. So he goes wandering around, looks for it, and he eventually finds it hanging off of a tree on the property.
Yeah. Like, he clearly did not put it there. Like,
no.
Clearly.
No. No. And I know skeptics are going to be like, he probably just misplaced it. No, you don't just misplace a post hole digger in a tree. That's not what happens in life.
Right.
So, if you remember, you're supposed to consult the previous owners prior to digging.
Mm-hmm.
They did not. So now, whatever is there is pissed off and retaliating. And every time they did anything physical to the land, like dig, they would hear and feel vibrations on the ground, and they would hear machinery clinging in the sky.
Oh.
Every time they started digging. Yeah. So these are Terry and Gwen and their family. They're your average Mormon people just looking to live their lives. They're not conspiracy theorists. They're not looking to make a fuss. They're certainly not looking to perpetuate anything paranormal and exaggerate for attention. Like, these are your normal, like, rural people just looking to get shit done on their ranch, not make a fuss, live their lives, and be happy. Like, that's it. Normal, everyday people. So they're scared shitless, and they have no idea what to think of anything happening. So then things begin to escalate. The clinging in the sky previously would have nothing visual with it, but then one day they see a super bright light about a football field length in front of them, and it looks like a very large orange spotlight. It then, like, backs away another football field length, touched down to the ground, shoots back up and backs away again. And they walk towards it. And as they walk towards it, it keeps on doing this. Back away, touch, go back up. And this continues in conjunction with the machinery or, like, a metal clanking sound. So then as this is happening, they begin hearing sounds behind them. They turn around and nothing is there behind them. They turn back around and the orb is still there. And then it just goes away.
Strange.
So the family is a few months into their stay at the property at this point, and it's becoming winter in Utah, which gets to be, like, in the negatives, like negative 30s. Mm-hmm. It's cold. There's snow. So Terry is outside patrolling the property. He's very scared. He's out in the middle of the night, like, patrolling the property to make sure everything's safe. And he, like, you know, he's scared. So one night on one of his patrols, he begins his way, like, back inside. He's walking on the ranch, getting back to the house, and he's stopped. He saw something move in out of the corner of his eye. He turns to look, and he sees a whole-ass UFO barely above the ground. It's about the size of what we know as, like, a stealth bomber, previously used in World War II. If you guys, a stealth bomber is that typically, like, short, flat, V-looking jet that you would see with, like, the zigzag ass end of it. Okay, that's what it looks like. Kind of like a wide piece of pizza. Mm-hmm. And they're not used nowadays anymore. Like, there's only one in use at this point. As of 2020, there's only one that we, like, use. So it wasn't that. It's dark, it's flat, it's low, and it's quiet. And it moves along the property, and as he sees it, like, on a ridge, he sees lights shooting down, searching the property, like, colorful lights. And then the lights go away, and then this thing just flies off with barely making a sound. So keep in mind, there are no military bases nearby at this point either. Like, there's not. There's no reason for this thing to be there. So Gwen then sees this aircraft, and it becomes a weekly, if not daily, occurrence, along with the bright lights and the bright orbs in the sky. Sometimes the orbs that they see are, like, rods. Sometimes they're spheres. And Terry, who has guns, got smart and started to use his scope on his gun to get a closer look at what he saw. And what he saw is shocking. So he said that he, in one of these rod-looking ones, which are big, they're far away and they're big. He said, when you look through the scope, you can see right through these orbs. And in some cases, it's in the dead of the night in Utah. So it is pitch black out. Okay. And when he looks through his scope into one of these orbs, he sees a blue sky on the other side of it.
What? Like, almost like he's seeing into another dimension or something, maybe?
Yes, he's seeing basically a portal. He said he looks and he sees blue sky as if it is pure daylight on the other side of this orb. It is clearly not daylight. It is the middle of the fucking night, pitch black in the middle of Utah.
That's weird as
hell. It is pitch black. But he can look and see daylight. It's like another world is on the other side. Another place entirely. So then one day we have another escalation. Keep in mind, they haven't even been here for a year yet. They've just made it through fall, end of summer, fall, and winter. Terry goes out to count cattle. As you do on a ranch, you keep track of cattle and you fix fences. And he noticed something is going on. There's one cow missing. It's winter. They usually huddle together when it's really cold. So one cow being missing is a little odd. So he goes on the hunt for the cow. And luckily there's snow, so tracking a rogue set of footprints should be fairly easy. So he tracks them, and when he finds the cow tracks, he sees that the cow likely was in some sort of distress or got scared off because they were spaced pretty far apart, like the cow was running. Running from what? We don't really know, since there were no other tracks at all. No, like, wolves or anything, just this set of, like, random running cow prints. So kind of like the wolf tracks, these cow tracks just stop. Huh. Nowhere. Like, they just stop. And this happens a total of 5 times over the course of the winter. So the following spring, their son is then walking around the ranch and he notices a really big muddy ditch. And keep in mind, they haven't found any of these cows that went missing at this point. So when he looks in there, he's a little surprised to see a cow that's stuck in the mud but still alive. So he believes it's still alive. So he's on his way to go do something, makes a mental note to come back ASAP and check on the cow and pull it out. Because you need to prep for that type of thing, mm-hmm. I would think. But when he comes back, he finds that the cow is dead. So him and his dad go down and take a look. And what they see is the cow's entire rear end is carved out into about a six inch wide, 18 inch deep hole. But there isn't a speck of blood anywhere. So over the course of the next 18 months, this happens to 3 more cattle. And in some instances, there were trees around where the cattle were found, and like the tops of the trees were cut off and branches were cleared out as if like they, whatever did this, had to make room vertically for this thing to happen. And the cut in these cows' butts, it reminds me of a hole punch. Because okay. It's so meticulously clean and all of the insides are taken out. And there's not a speck of blood, and they said it just reeked of chemicals.
Ew. So when you say the cow's butt.
Butthole, rectum.
Okay.
Rear end.
That's where they took like its insides out?
Yes.
Okay.
Without a speck of blood on the cow. To be seen in the cow, the cows are drained of blood, like there's nothing in it, essentially.
That's really weird.
So, cattle mutilation now, which is very cattle mutilation is very scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, yeah, yeah. So another terrifying experience happened when Terry was out for a walk. He reported that he heard what sounded like voices while out late one night. But even weirder, the voices spoke in a language he didn't recognize. He estimated that they came about 25 feet away from him. He couldn't see a damn thing. His dogs were going berserk. They barked, and they like bolted back to the house. So usually if a dog hears voices, they like run towards the voices.
Yeah.
You know? No, these dogs freaked out and ran home.
Mm-hmm.
So just weird stuff. So one night while on the lookout for the cattle mutilator to see what or who did this, Terry and Gwen are out at night keeping watch, and they see a blue orb go near the house. But this blue orb looks like a crystal ball filled with like a blue liquid or something, and it's crackling like static above their heads. Like they can hear the crackle.
Mm-hmm.
And this blue orb is yet another new experience. They see it come, it's floating above their heads, and then it just launches away. And it's full of static electricity.
Huh.
So this happens another night, this blue orb, but their three dogs see it at this point, and they start losing their minds. Hoping the dogs could, like, maybe either get it or catch it or whatever, Terry lets the dogs loose, but the orb is almost, like, mocking the dogs or playing with it. It's going up and down and letting the dogs bark at it, jump at it, and then back away, almost like it's, like, playing with the dogs to lure them. So that night, Terry goes on a lookout for the dogs because the dogs run away with the orb, and he can't find the dogs anywhere. He saw them bolt after the orb. It sped away, but as the orb sped away and the dogs sped away in the like pitch black of night, he heard the dogs start crying and screeching in pain. As the dogs were doing that, all of a sudden it all just stopped, and it was like the calm, like, you know how calm before a storm it's eerily quiet,
right?
It was like that. It just stopped. So he did not want to go out and find this thing because it's clear that something happened and he didn't want to like get hurt. So the next morning, he went out to take a look and see what happened. And what he finds is he has a small field. And in this small field, there are three small circles of like burnt grass. In each circle is a greasy, lumpy pile of burnt flesh and ash. So these three dogs are in like crop circles in the middle of each crop circle. And they're clearly incinerated in like a greasy pile.
That's gross.
And they never see the dogs again. So this was clearly the dogs.
Yeah, that's sad and gross.
Yep. So they take this as like, holy shit, this is actually like really personal. This is a personal attack on us. So they get in contact with a guy named Joseph Jr. Hicks. He's a retired science teacher who has been keeping a log of all of the paranormal events in the entire area, not just Skinwalker Ranch, but the entire area for decades. He has records of over 400 UFO sightings in the Uinta Basin. Some are actual aircraft, some are just orbs. He also has a record of cattle mutilations dating back to the 70s. So this is the guy that they want to contact for their situation because he clearly knows what's up since they're fearing their personal safety. Hicks really just solidified that, hey, you're not crazy. People have been experiencing this, but it seems to be a lot more pinpointed and concentrated on your land. He really didn't have any other answers besides corroborating reports. He did some investigations with him and whatnot, but ultimately the Shermans decide, hey, we don't want to live here anymore. Our family is going through too much. So they sold the ranch for $200,000 to an up-and-coming aerospace engineer and paranormal and UFO enthusiast by the name of Bob Bigelow. After Bob read about an article about this whole situation in the newspaper. So their stories have been made their way into the media. Bob Bigelow read about it, saw it's for sale, and bought it. So this man has money and the knowledge to conduct actual scientific experiments. He has an impressive reputation in the paranormal community and scientific community. So now we're going to get into the Bigelow era. In 1995, Bigelow funded the National Institute of Discovery Science, or NIDS, to fund research and study a lot of fringe sciences and paranormal topics, most notably the study of UFOs. So fringe science, he studied it. Pangea was considered fringe science. Like I said, tectonic plates were considered fringe science, and now it's not. So my take on it is you don't know something until you research it, but you have to be given a chance to research what might seem impossible so that you know if it truly is impossible or not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what his work was trying to do, is try and like find like hard, fast truths of, is this stuff that we want to know about real or is it not? So the organization researched cattle mutilations and Black Triangle reports as well, but this organization disbanded in 2004. So, jumping back, 96 is when Bigelow purchased Skinwalker Ranch. Over the next year, Bigelow and his expansive research team experienced every single thing the Shermans experienced, from the UFO sightings to the humanoid animal creatures that couldn't be shot dead. The cattle were still on the ranch, so they saw like cattle mutilations and stuff like that. He and his team looked at all possible reasons for that. He owned the ranch for 20 years. They looked at all possible reasons for the activity to be happening there. They tested the soil for plant life and plant life for possible hallucinogenic materials in there to make sure that things that were happening were real. The Shermans weren't exaggerating or like accidentally high and hallucinating. And there is not a thing out of place. The water is fine. The earth was fine. The plant life was fine. There's the... Like, they had electricians come out and plumbers come out, and like any person that could come out and see if something was askew, they didn't find anything wrong. Everything was in working order. So, and every single person that they brought out to the property, whether it be an electrician, someone taking samples of plant life, someone looking for cattle, every single person experienced something paranormal, whether it be lights being seen, voices being heard, equipment being inexplicably drained of energy, loss of time and space and vertigo. All of it was experienced by these people over 20 years. So renowned journalist George Knapp said of Skinwalker Ranch, quote, "It's been the site of simply unbelievable paranormal activity. UFOs, Sasquatch, cattle mutilations, psychic manifestations, you name it. Residents here have seen it." So it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. So Bigelow and his research team researched the property and for 20 years. And there was also an instance with those rod-shaped things, mm-hmm. The orbs. One of his researchers' instances that had happened is they were out one night looking at the orbs with a telescope. But instead of just looking through and in a pitch black and seeing daylight on the other side of it, one of his researchers looked through, saw one of these orbs, saw a different world on the other side of it, but saw a creature crawl out of one of these orbs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they're experiencing the same thing, only like in different things are happening with the same thing that they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So Bigelow and his team, they don't open this place up to the public. It's not a place that you can go and visit when he owns it. They kind of keep it on lockdown. They worked with the government for a little bit. Some people say they worked with the government a little bit to like see what's going on, but they ultimately end up selling their ranch in 2016, and he sends it to a guy named Brandon Fugel. Brandon Fugel is a real estate like entrepreneur maven. He ended up hiring a camera crew and brought in his own team of researchers and investigators. He owns it to this day, and he opened the place back up to the public, yes, but more so opened it back up to be able to research in a more public manner so that it didn't seem like they were keeping things to themselves.
Yeah.
His researchers are no joke either. This is the guy who has researchers coming from NASA, the Department of Defense. His researchers have PhDs in physics, have been in like heavy hitters in the scientific community for decades. Like, this is no joke. So, like, this is further showing that there is something happening here, and this will continue to be the most researched area for the paranormal in the entire world, and it's not something to just be blown off. He also officially names it Skinwalker Ranch at this point, and his hope was to investigate and capture all of the phenomenon and work to prove all of this activity as real by debunking everything that was happening, coming up with like natural common explanations for everything that was experienced over the last few decades. So, however, from day one, him and his team were thrown right into the unknown. They saw and still see things to this day, like the lights, cattle walking around in a very like unnatural, strange pattern. They detect unnatural electromagnetic fields, which are really common during the Sherman and Bigelow eras. And these electromagnetic fields especially happened around the cattle. So there is one report where the cattle inexplicably went from one area of the ranch in an open field to another area of the ranch. So the area, they were like, there's no other word besides teleported. The area that they were teleported to was a trailer, and it's like one of those metal trailers with bars that you see hauling livestock down the highway or the interstate. You know what I mean? There were no tracks leading the cattle to the trailer. They just kind of like mysteriously went from one area of the ranch to another. When investigated, they went to look for the cattle. They're like, okay, they were just in this field. Where did they go? There was like maybe five of them. And after looking around, they looked into this trailer and they're like, holy shit, how did they get in here? And they took out EMF detectors and their equipment, and the bars on this metal trailer had extremely high levels of electromagnetic activity, or a really big electromagnetic field around the trailers. That was not there. It wasn't natural. So it's very weird. It's just very weird. So a field like this would come from something like ground. An electromagnetic field like this would come from something like the ground or from a man-made source like technology. But in this case, it was all above ground. And the spikes hit when a UFO would hit. Like if there was a UFO there, the electromagnetic fields would skyrocket. And it wouldn't come from the ground like it should. It would, the higher up you went, the more fields there were. And but they wasn't coming from the aircraft itself. It was coming just from the air. It's like the air was charged.
Huh. That's weird.
So another thing about this guy is at first nobody knew who bought Skinwalker Ranch at all when Bigelow sold it. But eventually Brandon Fugel came out and he's like, okay, if I'm going to be conducting research, I need researchers and I want to be the most transparent as I could possibly be about what we're doing here and what we're finding. I don't want to seem like I'm hiding anything. So he came out and said that he bought it. So there are a lot of reports of skinwalkers, like I said, in Utah, but also there are a ton of reports of skinwalkers in Arizona and New Mexico, especially, and a lot of them have to do with individuals driving. So we have the Sherman era, the Bigelow era, the Fugel era, and then we have the other reports. So when we say Skinwalker Ranch, it's obviously home to like unparalleled UFO activity. It's literally called a UFO highway. We have all of those other things happening. But I do want to talk about skinwalkers as a whole for a sec before we get into like the theories. Because the southwestern part of the United States seemingly has a lot more actual skinwalker activity than anywhere else. So I got on Reddit and I got on TikTok and I found some stories, and I found this shorter story, but it a lot of people have this exact experience. So I'm going to read it to you. So this is a firsthand experience by a girl on Reddit. She says, "This morning I left the house early, 4:45 a.m. to be exact. I had an early appointment and I needed to drive about 3 hours to get to my destination. I usually take the main roads, but I decided to take the back roads and drive through a Native American reservation. The road would save me about 45 minutes, and I would have plenty of time to get to my appointment. I have heard the stories of the skinwalkers, but I never really thought I would see one. So this morning, I am sure I saw one. I was driving about 60 miles per hour on the reservation road when I came across a herd of horses. I slowed down thinking that a horse might cross my path and that I might have an accident. But I didn't see any other cars on that road, and then something caught the corner of my eye. It was something shadowy, and it was moving." Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that was. Okay. I don't know what's happening in my house right now. Migo's freaking out. He's all puffed up. Okay. I don't want to do this episode anymore. Okay. Anyway, she says, "I was driving, where was I? I slowed down thinking that a horse might cross my path. Okay. I saw something shadowy and it was moving beside my car. I turned to look at it and it was just outside of my view, and I looked into the mirror. That's when I saw a face. It looked like an old woman. The face was painted white. The face looked horrible. It was ghastly and very wicked and ugly looking. I looked away and screamed. I slammed on the gas pedal. I was in full panic mode and I didn't want to look back, and I didn't look back. I kept driving as fast as I could and I was a mess. I wanted to cry and pull over and try and get some composure, but I wouldn't dare stop on that road. I finally made it to the main road and I felt at ease that there were more cars on the road. My heart was racing and I was having a panic attack. I'll never take that road again, and I have no idea what I saw, but I'm guessing it was a skinwalker. And there, I would say the majority of the firsthand experiences of people like outside of the reservation who are like talking about what they see, usually they are driving and they see an animal, usually like a coyote or something on all fours, running on pace with their car, whether it be 35 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour, whatever. These animals are running on pace with their car, and oftentimes these animals get up on their hind legs and are running kind of like a human but look like an animal, and they either have a human face with a reflective eyes, or they have an animal face but a human but human eyes, and they just don't look natural, and they're running like at highway speeds next to these cars.
Damn, that's crazy. Yeah. That'd be so crazy to see.
I could not imagine.
Yeah.
So that's one of the firsthand experiences, which is a lot like all of the other experiences. If you just like look on Reddit for Skinwalker stories, you'll find a ton of that stuff. So going back to the ranch, now that we've talked about all three different main owners and we've talked about what's been happening, how everything has been corroborated multiple times by so many people and reputable people, we're going to look at the theories. Some we've discussed, some we haven't. What we have happening on the ranch is shapeshifters / skinwalkers, giant animals that are either not completely normal looking or have been extinct, hellhound and direwolf, and that are unkillable. And we don't know if these are the shapeshifters, skinwalkers, or if there's something else entirely. We have a Native American curse brought on to the Navajos, put this curse on the Ute people. We have cattle mutilations, poltergeist activity, voices in a different language, crop circles and incinerated animals, orbs in the form of a sphere or a rod. You have UFOs flying low. Some UFOs are said to be literally the size of multiple football fields, and some were smaller, the size of a self bomber. People experiencing gaps in memory or time and vertigo. We have battery and electric, like battery drainage, mechanical or metal clunking noises associated with the orbs or UFOs. We have no blood around cattle mutilation, and we have people seeing portals into other dimensions, looking at these orbs, which may not be the actual UFOs. So here are the theories of what's happening here. Theory number one is that the curse is real regarding the Skinwalker. The issue with that doesn't explain the orbs, crop circles, poltergeist activity, voices, battery drainage, memory gaps, mechanical noises, or the animal mutilations. The second theory is this is all a hoax. None of this is happening. None of this is real. In order for that to happen, though, hundreds of people over the span of decades would all have to be in on this hoax, and not a single person would have said a thing. That seems incredibly unlikely to me.
Oh, yeah. Very.
That is incredibly unlikely. The third possibility is the most likely possibility. And that possibility is that there is some type of wormhole or portal or a very thin veil in this area that separates our dimension with other dimensions, and that's bringing in all of this strange phenomena. So essentially, it would be like a wormhole or a veil between our existence and the existence of different universes or places in time on our universe, that and it's just like the veil is extremely thin. So I explained it like this. Our regular existence has soundproof walls, meaning you see our existence, what's happening in our planet right now, in our plane of living, in this dimension, and we all know what's happening at this point. We see and hear the same thing. But at the ranch, the walls aren't soundproof like that of like an interrogation room. It's not like that. The walls are made of walls of a mobile home in the 1970s that Dale punched a few holes in while pounding some Coors. That's how I see the walls there.
Damn it, Dale.
You can hear and see. You can hear and see things happening in other rooms of this mobile home. You can see someone in the ranch reach a hole through the wall and steal your stuff, only to put it in another room. Animals are sneaking through these walls and these holes of this 1970s mobile home. And you thought these animals ran away or dead. So that's how I explain the walls of reality at Skinwalker Ranch, is a 1970s mobile home.
Yeah.
So if a powerful enough energy source or energy surge happens, hypothetically, it can cause a tear in the space-time continuum, causing a portal to another universe or possibly another time in our universe to open. So this would explain the following. The orbs opening up to portals would prove this. Terry saw the blue sky, and the scientist saw not a blue sky, not only a blue sky, but he also saw the creature crawl out of one of those portals. This would also explain the what we think is poltergeist activity of things showing up in different places, like the cattle being all of a sudden in a different trailer. A portal would open up and transport them to a different place because the veil is so thin. Mm-hmm. It would explain also Terry's pole digger being in a tree.
Yeah.
And why cattle just disappear in the middle of their tracks.
Right.
It would explain the energy surges of electromagnetic fields happening. A wormhole opening up to a different dimension or a different plane of existence would explain how an extinct animal, such as a dire wolf, would all of a sudden show up out of nowhere.
True. You know, that reminds... What's that show? La Brea. There's a show called La Brea where there's a sinkhole in Los Angeles, and it's morning traffic, and a whole bunch of people and cars and buildings and everything gets... like, just falls through this huge, deep, deep sinkhole, and they end up falling into, like, a portal, and they end up in L.A. in, like, the dinosaur times.
What? That, I mean, but yeah.
It's a show that's on, like, ABC or something. So, yeah, it's, like, that's what this is reminding me of. It's, like, stuff from, like, the dinosaur times, like, and a portal... somehow, and modern people are seeing this.
Yeah, that is this. That would, I mean, it explains the dire wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strange.
And it also would explain the extraterrestrial slash UFO activity. They would have technology far more advanced than ours.
I was going to UTI.
Yep. It explains the UTI activity. It would explain that because there's technology far more advanced than ours showing up out of nowhere and disappearing without others from nearby towns, I guess, seeing it or hearing it. People in this area see and hear things all the time, but there were no, like, if the Shermans were to say, hey, I saw this football-sized UFO, nobody else saw it in their area. So that a wormhole or a black hole or a different plane of existence going into a different portal, whatever it might be, would explain how no one else saw it, because it would disappear and go back to where it's supposed to be. Mutilations, this would also explain cattle mutilations and disappearances happening that are done by possibly these aliens doing experiments to see what exactly is on this planet and what they're dealing with. Because, like, I was reading something and they said if we went to a different planet, we'd take something living and experiment on it and see what exactly is happening. So why wouldn't they do it to us? So, and there's so much cattle. Mm-hmm. There's so many, you know, so of course.
Right. It's fair,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. So the government has literally invested about $22 million in investigating UFOs, and that information all was declassified in 2017. So we know, as a population, without a shadow of a doubt, that something is going on, like, in the world, and here at Skinwalker Ranch, that is unexplained. Skinwalker Ranch has been part of some of these government investigations. They are no longer. Brandon Fugel has his own research team. He's not working with the government, anything like that. So the current owners, Fugel, as I mentioned, they do have their own researchers, and they have worked for major agencies in the past, but they now have a show on the History Channel documenting their findings. And it's actually a pretty good show, and I listened to a podcast with Fugel talking, and they asked if he's happy about how the show turned out, how the show is turning out. And he said, yeah, it's... none of these people that are here, we've never been on camera. We never planned on being on camera. He never planned on even coming out saying that he owned the ranch, but he's doing it all for transparency purposes. And he said the show is exactly what it should be. He kept on saying, it's clear none of us have ever been on camera, but we want people to see what's happening here because it needs to be explored. So Which I get. I appreciate that.
I think I've come across that before. That show. Is it on Discovery Plus?
Yeah, because it's a History Channel show.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, that's Skinwalker Ranch. All of the things happening. What do you think is happening?
I mean, it kind of does sound like a lot of different paranormal things are converging on this plot of land. Between, like, spiritual phenomena, you might say. And also, so spiritual phenomena of Earth, and then also, like, extraterrestrial phenomena from other planets and or galaxies.
Yes.
And, maybe that's what attracted the aliens, or, like, the extraterrestrials, was the, maybe that's what attracted the extraterrestrials was the, like, spiritual energy or activity. Like, maybe they could see it or something. Like, somehow. Because they have, like, different technology. Like,
yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
It's just, I hate that a wormhole or, and, like, the different articles that I read and, like, TV shows I watched and people I heard talk about this all said that this is, like, weirdly the most rational explanation. Because it can't be a hoax. It can't be a hoax. It can't, like, I'm sorry, but people aren't making this up. This isn't.
It would be. Right. It would be an elaborate hoax.
This isn't not happening. And if you still think, this is, like, there's no way any of this is happening, you're fucking stupid. I'm sorry, but you're fucking stupid. This has been happening for decades at this point, with hundreds of eyewitnesses, actual scientific experiments done with scientific technology that is able to record weird things happening. And if you're like, oh, but you can't, that's not real science. Like, no, it is. It is science.
I think that we know now through this pandemic experience that even if the science is right in front of your goddamn face, there's still going to be dumbasses who deny it. So, it's not going to ever be probably a time when everyone, like, believes in something until they get abducted.
Yeah, exactly. To me, that's like saying you don't believe tectonic plates exist because you've never been in an earthquake.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not dumb. I know they exist. Like, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. So we would love to hear what you guys think on Skinwalker Ranch, what you think is going on. Feel free to go ahead and drop us a line, contact@perfectstranglers.com, or DM us, or, like, mention it in the comments. And we would love to know your thoughts. And, that's all I got for today. Bree, want to say anything to the kids?
Yeah, if you guys have any, like, strange stories of, like, when you were driving out in the middle of nowhere or something, please email us, because we would love to hear your stories, and we would love to share your stories with our other listeners.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Love to hear it. All right, guys, we will chit-chat with you next Thursday.
Bye, everyone.